Just like the Rambam says with regard to astronomy, in the Mora, he says that we've advanced a lot since the time of Aristotle in astronomy, and therefore we don't have to accept what he said anymore. I mean, that's the philosophers did assume that the heavens are different. That the heavens are different, totally different. Actually, there's no psukim in Torah Shabbosav that says that anything like that. It's an amazing thing. But there are Chazal that seem to indicate that. And if you want to say that Chazal held that way, there's nothing wrong with that either. Because just like Chazal followed the medicine of the times, they followed the astronomy of the times. There's nothing strange about that. Okay. But as I said, I mean, all these things have been shown now that we know the extent of the universe. I mean, at that time the universe was a very small place. It was, compared to what it is today, it's like billions and billions of times more, greater. So they didn't have a concept of the extent of the universe, and they drew conclusions based upon what they saw, which itself was erroneous because sight is very limited, and what you see is not real. I mean, that was the downfall of naive realism when they found out that there's a whole world that exists beyond what you see, and it changed the whole world of science. But anyways, but the point is, the Ramban is speaking in his time, and the Ramban is saying that the reason why he accepts this is because it's proven scientifically. That's what he says. He says openly, he says, and therefore I made that assumption. And just like the Ramban says in Noach that you can't deny the rainbow, like the Greeks say, the Greek scientists show that it's nothing more than a reflection of light, he says, and it must have existed from Mysa Bereshis. So he says the same thing. So he says over here also. So he's basing it on that assumption, but that assumption we know is not correct. So we have a klal that the Ramban himself established, and the Rambam and all the Chachmei Yisrael, that we go according to knowledge, and we're not the Chachamim that based opinions on science of the times that are right to do so, but it's a tentative kind of a thing, okay? Yeah, the Rambam, it's interesting, the Rambam in the Mora does say, in another place, just the opposite. It's an interesting thing. He says that really all we know about the heavens are a few mathematical calculations, and you know how far that will get you. The Rambam himself knew that while he accepted this tentatively, these structures that were assumed, he knew we really know, ultimately, what you really know, he said very, very little. But nevertheless, there's such a thing as philosophical speculation. And the person has a right to speculate. But the Rambam states clearly in the Mora, in another place, that whatever Aristotle said about the heavens and whatever we know about the heavens is just a few mathematical calculations, and he says, and you know how far that can get you. So basically, he held that a Chacham has to know what he really knows for sure. On the other hand, there is such a thing as speculation, okay? But in the Rambam's speculative system, he did believe that the heavens are different, and there are, as a matter of fact, he accepts the Aristotelian, and the Yad also has it, the Aristotelian idea, that the planets have life, but not life in the sense that we understand life. It's a different thing. He held they were influenced in a different way. Not influenced. They move through a kind of an influence that's similar to an influence of somebody would tell you that there's something important for you in the other room. You go into the other room. So that means you'd move based upon that influence. It's a different kind of a concept of influence. That's the kind of influence he held exists in the heavens. It's a different kind of influence. It is not animistic. I mean, I want you to know, it is not animistic, and it doesn't appeal to the imagination. But that's what the Ramban says, it's a sod, that's what he means. Sod means it's an idea. But he means an idea like Reb Chaim Zumi says, sod or ibor. It's an idea. It's a sod. It means something that not everybody knows. But he was basing it on knowledge that he thought existed and he thought was true, not because he was attracted to mystical, to ideas that are just projections of inner emotions. I mean, I want you to be clear. The Ramban, neither the Ramban nor the Rambam, but you have to understand it's very difficult to go back in time and see how thinkers thought years ago before they had the knowledge that we have today, because you're raising this knowledge and that sounds ridiculous. But when you think that a person can be a physician and not know that the heart, that the circulation of the blood, it sounds crazy. But that's true. I mean, circulation of blood was 16th century, right? So I mean, before that, you had doctors for centuries and centuries didn't know that the heart simply pumps the blood around, that there's a circulatory system. Sounds crazy today. Yeah, but today you're a big chacham because you're after all these centuries of investigation. But you have to realize that the human mind is very limited, and you can't. I mean, in the time of Descartes was not that long ago, and his whole the whole belief in the body and how it works with the humors and all these things we all know today doesn't exist. Okay, but that was all science then, because you can't possibly. It's very, very difficult for a person to put himself back. And everybody, a person is arrogant by nature, so the average modern person thinks because he knows how to put on the television there's a big chacham. But the truth of the matter is, if you put him back in those times, he simply would be considered a fool. So you have to understand what the Ramban is saying. That's basically what the Ramban's view he maintains is the same thing like the Ramban chapter 10 in book 2. That the philosophers, he means the philosophers, by the way, doesn't mean what we call philosophers. Philosophers mean the scientists. Okay, philosophers, and those, the term philosophers is not an accurate term. The philosophers means those who investigate, the investigators. Physics in those days was under philosophy. I mean, Aristotle's physics is a part of his philosophy. So philosophy today has a different meaning than it had then. Philosophers mean the scientists, the thinkers. Okay. Yeah, there's another Ramban on Tos Hashem Tamimo. Where is it on? It's in this edition, this Chevelle's edition, it's Kuf Mem Tes, where he mentions, he says, "Bale o'iyan anekroim bale afilosufim yakhishu gamzev omen kihem tatuim." That's nonsense. "V'gam Rav Ramba Ibn Ezra kosav reike moach." Omrim ki amenachashim emes, like the Rambam says. So he says that ochein zoso mida megarasi lano, and he says basically, he says v'im nischase bozel a sheker nodel advarav, and if they would show us that it's false, we'd agree with them. That's very good. The Ramban is on Kuf Mem Tes in Torah Hashem Tamimo. So if he'd show it to us, we believe it. That's what I'm telling you is, what I really want to say to you is like this, that there are people that are attracted to the Ramban's position, or what they think the Ramban's position is, because they don't really know the Ramban's position. Ramban was a whole system. But they think, what attracts them is their own projections and their own mystical inclinations, which is basically Avodah Zarah. In other words, and the proof is that they feel that they know who's right, the Rambam or the Ramban, as if these people are on a level to determine such great minds, who's right and who's wrong. I mean, it's nonsensical. It's just stupid. But the fact that they have inclinations shows you clearly what's motivating them is really the Derech Avodah Zarah. That's for sure. It's their own inner feelings motivating them. But what the Ramban is saying, I want you to understand that what the Ramban is saying is not because he has any attraction or any desire to believe this, but he was making an investigation based upon the knowledge that was available to him, and insofar as he could see, he accepted that that what they were saying was scientifically correct and accurate. It's an interesting thing. I mean, the Rambam and the Ibn Ezra, amazingly, rejected all of it. I mean, and in those days, everybody accepted it as factual. But I even showed you, even the Rambam, when it came to that frog, he says, Dovat Mohu, he says, I can't believe, he says, it's astounding that such a thing could exist, because he was a physician. And he knew it doesn't make any sense that you'd have an animal that's part earth. But he says, what am I going to do? He says, everybody says, Rabba Main Misbar. Apparently he listened to hundreds of people that told him they saw that kind of a fraud. And he says, he was caught. I mean, he was caught. But basically he said, but basically he said, I mean, he had a hard time believing that people were so careless in their reporting. I mean, they were. It was all false. And basically, he says himself, he says, it's a dovah tmua. It's an astounding thing that such a thing could exist. But what are you going to do? I mean, they tell you it exists. So I had no choice. But the mission is discussing it in terms of a halacha question of tumma, tumma v'tara. So that's, even if it's hypothetical, it doesn't matter. But I just think it's important for me to give you the background. But what I'm interested in is what was the Ramban's understanding of the mitzvah? Okay? Yeah, by the way, according to Ramban's understanding of Kalayim, it'll come out all the things that they're doing in modern science absolutely awesome. I mean, all the genetic biotechnology and the genetic engineering is absolutely awesome, according to Rambam. That's correct. Genetic engineering. According to the Rambam, there's no problem. Because the Rambam is pure, the Issa Kalayim is Nisa Varazar. It's right. But at any rate, I'd like to understand what the Ramban held, that there's something to it. Not 100%, but it's based upon the system that he understood. But what is the that's not the important part of Ramban for me. I mean, that's just factual. Okay, so the Ramban accepted. I mean, you can't expect somebody to be out of their period. I mean, limited. So that's it. But now we understand differently. Now we understand better. Now the Ramban, it turns out the Ramban was right. Fine. The pasuk. If you look at the pasuk and the pshuta shel mikra, really goes like the Ramban. Go like the Ramban. You don't find any ways where there's a. It's very hard to start start stressing a word. But the pshuta shel mikra. Anyone reads the pasuk, gives no credence to this whatsoever. It just asks it outright and it considers it all toeva. You're having a very hard time. But whatever. But the Ramban was convinced that that's the way it was scientifically, so he tried to fit it into the mikra. I mean, that's Chacham has an obligation to do that. I mean, what else could he do? But that's not what bothers me. What I'd like to understand is the concept in the Ramban. So after all is said and done, fine. The Ramban at that time was forced to accept that system. But what is the mitzvah? I want to understand what it is. Because in the mitzvah I read you, Tom Tian Shon Kecha, same thing. It comes up practically identical. But the question, of course, is, according to the Rambam, like we said last week, the halacha is to deny all stupidity and nonsense and primitive urges of man. That's the very mitzvah in the Derech Avodah Zarah. That's the whole mitzvah. According to Ramban, that's only true by Moloch, he says. By Moloch, that's true. Because by Moloch, he says over there, they'd have the practice of Moloch, and then they'd have the priests, and then they'd start divining and all this nonsense. He says that's where that mitzvah is. That he agrees with the Rambam that there is such a mitzvah. But that mitzvah comes in by Moloch. But over here, he says, since he thought scientifically there is something to it, and I showed you his system is not completely was not completely out of the range of the Rambam and the philosophers either, because they themselves said in the Rambam and the Maruchim that the heavens influenced they felt the laws of men, and even Ibn Ezra always says Marechas HaShemayim. Why do they call Marechas HaShemayim? Because that's the way they refer to the laws of nature. They thought the laws of nature have something to do with the place in the heavens. That was the assumption. But the main reason for that assumption was because they noticed that the motion that takes place in the heavens is not like the motion on this earth. It wasn't until Newton that everything was unified. He showed that the same reason an apple falls down from the tree is the same reason that you have the planetary motion. But that wasn't until Newton. You sure it's all unified. Before that, they differentiated. They thought things over here worked differently. Okay. But at any rate, but what is the idea in the Ramban? That's what I want to know. It's an interesting idea, because the idea in the Ramban, whether that's the pshat in the pasuk or not, doesn't matter so much, because the Ramban obviously is telling you an idea in terms of perfection. And the idea could be true, nonetheless. See, according to the Ramban, actually, it comes out the mitzvah is even harder. According to the Rambam, the mitzvah is to reject stupidity. But according to the Ramban is saying that if you were able to manipulate things in your favor, you're not allowed to do it, because that's a violation of Talmud Tiyam HaShem HaVakecha. That's an interesting thing. The Ramban's mitzvah is much harder. There's no question about it. It means you can manipulate things in your favor, and it's a violation. You're not allowed to do that. I mean, the question is, why not? Why not? Yeah, law has even to save a life. You're not allowed to do it. That's right. Even to save a life. You're not allowed to do it. You mean, according to Ramban, it's really Mesiras Nefesh? You're not allowed to do it. Well, that's right. I mean, you could safely say you could pass like the Ram today, because the fact is that system is not true. If that system were true, then you'd have a problem, because you'd have to say that the Torah really acid the manipulation, and then they'll be clear that it's also. That's a theory in Kalayim. But if this were true, it's more than a theory. That's exactly what Kishav is. You understand? Then it'll be us 100%. This is a support for his old... I mean, what's wrong with it? You're working with the system. In other words, if God created a system, you're manipulating it. So what's wrong? What's wrong? The idea to Ramban is nevertheless important. Doesn't matter what the science is, the idea is important. What is Ramban telling you in terms of perfection? Yeah. You see, the Ramban really, I believe, the Ramban really explains it, answers it, in Tumim Tiyah Em Hashem Alekecha. You see? Where he says one line, the Namen Shekol HaBo'os Tiyena Kifi Yiskarei V'Odom La'Avodasa. You see? What does that mean? It means that the underlying principle of everything is Shechar V'Onesh. That's basically what it means. So it means that if it means, according to the Ramban, it means God established a derech hateva, and a derech hateva, and if the person and then there is an area which can break through the teva, and that area that breaks through the teva is, according to Ramban's idea, that's where the Ashgacha comes in. That's where the Ashgacha comes in. Okay? But let us say you could manipulate that area. Like, let's say you could manipulate that area and through that manipulation create a favorable situation for yourself. So why is that so terrible? What's the answer? The answer is because it's a denial of Shechar V'Onesh. Basically. And according to the Ramban, really, that in the Ramban structure, what the Ramban is saying is like this, that it's God's will that man should live according to the Teva, and the good should come through the fact that he's Meskare Velov, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should, through the Ashgacha, should bring him the good. Because that's the whole principle of Shechar V'Onesh. If a person, according to the Ramban, tampering with your fate, really, is a denial of Shechar V'Onesh. In the long run, it wouldn't help the person. In the long run, even according to the Ramban system, what it would mean is that he could effectuate something. But that's what the Ramban says. The Ramban says it's not really emes. What he means is, it's not really emes means that you can, even according to Ramban, you could effectuate a particular result, but since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the manhig of the whole system, so ultimately, in terms of Shechar V'Onesh, the person is not going to gain. And the Ramban held, on the contrary, that by doing that, you're distorting the Hashgacha. And you're distorting the Hashgacha, and you're removing yourself away from God, because were you to live under the Hashgacha, the Ashgacha's worked out in a way that the way a Kadosh Baruch Hu's mochiach a person, his Shechar V'Onesh, is in a method that he brings him closer to him. Mida keneged mida. So he'd be removing himself from the whole system of the Ashgacha, basically. That's what the Ramban holds as a terrible, horrible thing. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, according to the Ramban, that's what the Ramban is saying. It would be like if a person would be able, so to speak, it's a kind of like a childish fantasy that everybody has. You can manipulate something, you manipulate something and win the lottery. So you know what I mean. So you think you gain. I mean, always you have all these stories. Or based on that, that they show in the long run it always works out bad. I mean, a type of a story like that, you know what I mean? That you can manipulate something, but then you pay for it in the end. You see? But it means that that's like a certain kind of a sense that ultimately you're not going to gain. That's what it is. But over here, yeah. It's based on the fact that there is an underlying recognition that there is an underlying part of man that recognizes that these things ultimately don't really change his fate. There's something far deeper. I mean, which is true. I mean, but in literature, that's the way that idea comes out. I mean, literature. Yeah. But what the Ramban is saying is more than just a literary level. Ramban is saying it philosophically and in terms of Yahadus. That's the idea. That even if you could manipulate something for your favor, in this manner it's awesome. Because the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it was the Teva should exist, and what you receive should be a result of God's intervention through the Ashgacha into the Teva. And what you're doing is, you are going for a particular effect, which means you're losing the benefits of the Ashgacha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zalchacha, and in the long run, there's no way that this can benefit you. Because everything is under HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it says all the Marechas HaShemayim are under HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the one that will be benefited is the one that's close to God because of Schar V'Onesh. And there's nothing you can do, even if you can intervene in a particular case and bring about a certain result that you want. That's Asr. Why is it Asr? Because you're removing yourself from Ashgacha. That's what it means. That's Ramban's idea. So Ramban's idea, you see, Ramban's idea is really an amazing idea. What he's saying is, that's what I said, in his idea, in Ramban's idea, it's more demanding than the Rambam. Because the Rambam's idea is simply that the Torah is telling you to remove yourself. Not that it's an easy thing. I mean, you have to understand that ultimately that you have to be Avraham Avinu to remove every aspect of your mentality that's based on projection and primitive mystical types of belief. I mean, it's endless. It's you can reach the level of means it's completely removed, devoid of any kind of that type of thinking, and everything was based on his chachma. So it's a difficult task. But on a basic level, the basic demand, I mean, is to reject stupidity. But in the Ramban, it's even more difficult, in a sense. And in a certain way, it's more difficult, because it means if you could achieve a way of attaining things that you wish, it's absolutely usher. It's absolutely usher. And the Torah, according to Ramban, the Torah is no less vehement against it than according to the Rambam. I want you to understand. That's clear. Why is it so terrible? Because it's removing you away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and from the Ashgacha, and from the method that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has employs in training a person and in benefiting a person and being mochiach a person. So it's a denial of Schar V'Onesh, and if a person does that, there's no way that he can gain, because that's what Ramban says in Talmud Yerushalmi Lekecha, the one that I quoted to you from the Sefer HaMitzvahs. You cannot gain, because everything is Schar V'Onesh. And this is basically a denial of the Schar V'Onesh. So what I want to show you is that the Ramban's, you know, a person should not be attracted. That's a primitive thing, to be attracted by sensationalism. You understand what I'm saying? That is a primitive emotion that everybody agrees you have to get rid of. So when you see the Ramban, it's not the sensationalism of the Ramban. They know, oh, the Ramban did this, that. That's true that has been disproven, but that's not important. The important thing is to try to understand Ramban's mind in terms of how he perceives the perfection of the mitzvah. That's important. Okay, I'll stop here. And I mean, that's clear that the Ramban holds from Teva. There's no question he holds from Teva. But he held, like the principle of the ancients, that the Teva can be influenced and changed, you see. But that's not a good thing.
That's the area for the
Ashgacha to work. And if you try to manipulate it yourself, then there's no cure of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he's saying. That's what the Ramban is saying. If you had a way of effectuating your fate, you also do it. Ramban, the Ramban was based on a Ramban. The Ramban, everybody's attracted to the Ramban system of Kishrut, but that wasn't his main point. I mean, that's not the point. The point was Tan Tiyam Hashem Lekecha, which is basically that he says like this. He says Lo Nidrosh Mehovrei Hashemayim V'Lo Misulasam V'Lo Niftach SheYevo Divreim Al Kol Panim. You shouldn't feel secure that what they predict is going to happen. Aval nishma dover mehem nomar kol b'dei shemayim. That everything really is under God. Ki hu Elokei Elohim Elyon al hakol hayochol b'kol. Mishana marochos hakochovim l'amazolos kritzono meifir osos badim v'kosmim yeholel. That's pasuk in Shayo. V'namim That's the Yisod. So the Yisod basically is that everything is totally in Schar Vayinish. And not only that, even the Ramban who thought that there was something to the systems that they had, he believed there was something to the system that had. Nevertheless, he says that the Torah asked it. You're not permitted to believe that even their systems, which he held has some basis. He says still you're not allowed to believe that they're really accurate. There's something to them, but they're not 100% accurate, he says. And not only that, but essentially Tamim Tiyan Hashem Lekecha means that you must, that the Torah demands that everything, a person must know that the good and the evil that befalls them is only insofar as he's close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or removed or distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the people, I mean, today, that use all these methods, these what they call Kabbalistic, it's not Kabbalistic, it's the real Kabbalah, something else. This is the nonsensical mysticism of today, is exactly against what the Ramban is saying. Is against the mitzvah of Tam Tiyashon Lekecha, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to press buttons that will give, they'll change their fate, which is absolutely against the whole Yisrael Yadus. Point to anybody, there's nobody that holds otherwise, and that's the Yisrael of the Torah. But I want to mention aside from that, that's the whole Iker of the Torah, Kol Torah Kula. But I just want to mention the Ramban himself. The Ramban says that the Ramban did not care about whether the systems were correct or not. That wasn't really his area. He had to go by what he thought. Like he says, "Rabim yischasbi b'nechashim lomar she'ein b'hamem es klal." Says there are many that think that there is no truth at all to the systems of the that Torah is mentioning. The Goyim nichush ki mi yagid la'orei v'la'ogor ma'yeh. Because how is it possible to say that birds and other things know the future? And then he says, "V'anachnu lo nuchal lahachish devarim yisparsim uleinei roev." He says, but we can't help ourselves because he thought it was a scientific thing. Okay. But basically, we know today, I mean, the Ramban system, which is mentioned in a few places, mentioned in the beginning of Bereshis, he brings down Shavuot, it's mentioned in the beginning of Bereshis, and also in the beginning of the Aseret HaDibros. He mentions the system that he thought was correct. I mean, which the Rambam, of course, rejected and said it's shtus v'havel. But the Ramban, based upon what he thought was the science of the day, I mean, he thought there was something to it. But as I said, this has nothing to do with Torah itself. This has to do with a question of science, a scientific question. But as I mentioned last time, the Ramban system was based upon the old philosopher's system, which the Rambam mentions in the Mora also, that the heavens are different. I mean, this was something which everyone believed, that the heavens are different. That the heavens, the concept of place, existed in science and for many, many years, until Newton, because the heavens were considered to be a certain place. And all these, this whole system that the Ramban is quoting is based on the idea of place. That this star from this place exerts an influence. You see, but now we know that the whole concept is absolutely false. It's erroneous. There's no such thing as place in the universe. The universe is, each galaxy is a, there's 100 million galaxies, and each one's 100 million stars, and we're just in one little part of a galaxy, not even centrally located. I mean, every place in the universe, you look around, you'll think you're in the center. I mean, there's no difference between one place and another. So the whole concept has been disproven. But that's why, I mean, I want you to understand, you cannot blame the Ramban for what he accepted, because he accepted the science of his times. If you want to blame the Ramban, you can blame the Rambam, because he says the same thing in the Modern Book. Not the same exact thing, but the idea that and he mentions all the philosophers said this, and he even quotes certain Chazal. But you have to understand, I mean, it's no different than quoting a Chazal on medicine of the times. The same exact thing. I mean, the Chazal had to go by the science of the times. But we know today that all these things are false. There's no basis for it. The system was erroneous. Interesting is that the Psukim themselves, I mean, in my opinion, the Psukim themselves clearly flow more easily like the Rambam. So the implication is clearly that these are all toeva. Lo yimotze v'chom mavir b'no v'itavesh kosem kisomim ma'onein u'menachei shemachashei v'chover v'chover v'sholov yedorim dor shalmesim kisov as Hashem kolos e'ela. So the Ramban has to hang on. It says kolos e'ela, doesn't say osei kol e'ela, but many times it says kolos e'ela and it means all of them. But the Ramban says, when it says kolos, it doesn't have to mean all of them, it can mean some of them. But kolos e'ela also means all of them. Because, for instance, you have lo yilucho in kiseitze chofei, the end of kiseitze. Lo yilucho bekischo even v'oven gedolok tana. Lo yilucho beveischo eifo v'eifo gedolok tana. Even shlem v'tzedek yiloch, eifo shlem v'tzedek yiloch. Laman yerichu yomechol adoma asher Hashem v'gachon nosin loch. Kisav asad Hashem alakecha kol osei ela kol osei ovel. See, so the kol osei ela is over there. There's no exception over there. Understand? So, but the Ramban is saying when it says kol osei ela, it could mean the language tolerates that they're not all toeva. They're wrong. They're all wrong, but they're not all toeva. But the plain shot is, I mean, the Ramban had to, because of the science that he says that you can't be makhish. Anachnu luchon lahakhish dvarim yispas lein eroim. So basically, the Ramban had to defend that position and to show that the Torah doesn't really openly contradict it. Of course, for now that we know it's not true, I mean, the psukim lend themselves. The Pshuto Shel Mikra lends itself plain shot. Once you say it's Toeva, it means that the Ramban is telling you. If it's Toeva, it can't be any truth to it. That the Ramban clearly states. I mean, that's an important statement from the Ramban. That it can't be true in Toeva. If it's true, it can't be Toeva. So that's what the Ramban has to say, that when it says Toeva, it's not referring to all of them. But the truth of the matter is, and I'm just pointing out that in the Pshuto Shel Mikra, see, Ramban says that it's most of them. Most of them becomes very difficult, because the only one that is clear is Loyimotzvich HaMavir B'no Vito Ba'esh. But according to Ramban, Kosim, Ksomim, Ma'onei, Menachesh, Mechashef, I mean, those are all future things, he says. So that can't be Toeva. So I guess Chover will include. So you'll have Chover, Ma'vir B'no Vito Ba'esh. And you want to say Shol over Yedoni, I mean, so you're still going to have the Kosim, Ksomim, Ma'onei, Menachesh, Mechashef. I don't understand where the Ramban gets the Rov anyways. I don't see the Rov. Excuse me? Pasuk is in Dvarim Yuches, Pasuk Yud, see? So it says, Mavir B'no Vitovesh is one which is definitely Toeva. But according to Ramban, Kosim, Ksomim, Ma'onei, Menachesh, and Mechashef, those are all futuristic things, future things. So if they're futuristic, what? Mechashef is playing around. So you mean he's, yeah, but I mean, but you can't say that it's Toeva. All right, let's say, I mean, it's not clear. You mean, so why is that toev? I mean, why is that makrishim? You mean because it's going against the law of nature. It's going against the laws of nature. All right, so let's say you'd say that one. Still, what do you have? You have kosen k'samim, ma'onein, and menachesh. And what about the Darash al-Amesim is four? So the bad ones are going to be Mavi ben Obita Beish is one. And you tell me Mechashif is two, Chovachov is three. What about Sholov, Yadon, and Darash al-Amesim? What about those? I mean, why are those... it becomes difficult. It's at least... you need to throw those in. I mean, but why should the Darash al-Amesim also be some future kind of thing? I mean, necromancia. But anyways, but it's difficult. It's difficult. I think what he means by most of them is... that he means the toev are not in terms of most of the mentioned apostate, but because a lot of the people that are involved with these things are liars and phonies. I mean, it could be. I mean, I'm not sure. But the Navi clearly says. I mean, the Navi clearly calls them liars, and the Navi Yeshayahu calls them liars. So they have a hard time explaining it. Well, so they say the ones that do it are liars. But basically, the Pshuta Shom Mikra is Badim, the Pasuk Shayom and Dalit. You hear Shayom and Dalit. The Pshuta Shom Mikra, if you don't, there's no reason to force it. I mean, the Rambam's Pshat is Pshuta Shom Mikra, that it's stupid and they're liars. I mean, if you're going to assume that there's something to it, then of course you're going to have to say that the people know that just so happens the people that deal with these are also liars. But the Pshuto Shel Mikra is the whole institution is a lie. I mean, Meifir, when he talks about Kamar Hashem Golecho, Kamar Hashem Golecho V'Yosrecho Mibaten, Onochi El Hashem Osa Kol, Nota Shemayim Levadi, Roka Haaretz Meiti. Okay. Mayfair osos badim. Badim means liars. The kosmim yeholel. He makes them look foolish. Meshiv chachomim ochor v'daitam yisakel. It means those kind of chachom. It doesn't mean yochom. It means like the chachmei Mitzrayim. Those type of chachom. So that's clear. I mean, as a matter of fact, in the same paragraph we looked before, where he talks about the ones that believe in the... In the Avodah Zarah, he says, "Lo yodav le avinu, ki tach meros einayim mehaski libosom, v'lo yoshiv alibo v'lo das v'lo svuno lemar." Everything is basically the Navi is criticizing the stupidity constantly, the stupidity that there's nothing to it. So I mean, clearly the Pshuto Shel Mikra is no reason. Ramban was coerced based upon the system that he had at the time, and he did the right thing. But the only thing is, I mean, now that we know that this whole concept of astrology is nonsensical, there's no such place in the universe, and the whole thing is a bottle and a bottle. So it comes. I mean, the Rambam's pshat is clear, but my point. See, I'm not. My main point is that the Ikir Ramban is not to justify these kind of systems. It's to understand the Torah. And what the Ramban is saying is that everything a person must go according to Derech HaTeva, that's what God wants. A person should go Derech HaTeva and Ashgacha, and he should know that everything is according, whether he has a good fate or a bad fate, is completely dependent on his Karvos El HaKadosh Baruch Hu or Richot Me HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's clear. I mean, that's the whole purpose of the Ramban. So this is a secondary thing, but people grabbed onto it because of their own emotions, and they try to justify what they're doing. But the Ramban is saying it's usur. Exactly the opposite. It's absolutely usur to do that. And anyone that tries to do these superstitious magical type of actions in order to change their fate are absolutely over this. There's no question about it. That's Ramban is clear. Okay, I just want to one last point. I mean, I think I've made the point, but I want to show you that you'll answer the question yourself. I mean, the Rambam, of course, as you know, as you read the last time, is is very much against this. Not only very much against it, but he says, Dvorah melukulun divrei sheker v'chozer v'hem. V'hem shehitu v'hanu v'chom v'kaman l'gaya rotzos k'day sh'inigo achareyan. V'hem roi l'Yisrael, sh'hem chachom v'mechukam l'hamshich b'avolam eil. V'lo l'ha'alos aleiv sh'yesh t'alos b'hem. Or to even consider for a moment to think that there's any benefit. Shenema, ki l'nafesh b'yakov l'kesem b'Yisrael. According to the Rambam, it means that that's the greatness of Klal Yisrael, that they don't go for this. V'nema, ki egoim v'ela sh'to Yerushalem ha'monim v'lokos mishmo v'ata lochem. Kol ha'mam min mitvar me'elu kesem v'chashe v'lu she'en emes d'var chochma v'l'tev v'asrosan einon elo min ha'sichlim v'me'chisre ha'das v'b'chlal ha'noshim v'ktanim she'en daitan shleimah. So, of course, I'll ask you a question. Would the Rabban fit in that category? Would the Rabban fit in that category? Why not? The Rabban doesn't fit into the category because the Rabban held, as I mentioned before, he held that it was supported by science. But anyone, once you lose the basis and you continue to believe in it, then what the Rambam is saying is 100% accurate. Namely, that you belong in the category of Chisrei Hadas. You understand? What the Rambam's saying and what the Ramban's saying, there's no contradiction. So Ramban didn't fit into that category of Chisrei Hadas. Ramban thought that it was, he assumed that it was scientifically correct. But once that has fallen out, once that has dropped out and you don't have that support anymore, so anyone that believes that is, even according to the Ramban, is belongs in the class of Chisrei Hadas. You understand what I'm saying? According to everybody, would belong in the class of Chisrei Hadas. It's only if a person had the support of science, then he like the Ramban says, we can't deny what we see. So the Ramban thought it was a scientific fact, but I did. That's a shame. The Rambam was unusual. The Rambam's intuition in science was so great that in spite of all the claims, he rejected it. He was an unusual sensitivity for the unusual intuition in science. But he was exceptional. And the Ibn Ezra also, but they were exceptional people. They had an unbelievable, uncanny ability. But many, many other scientists, believed in these things. Plato believed in Shadim. He mentions it. You have to understand, the people brought back accounts of things, and you have many, many people that are bringing back these accounts. It becomes accepted as fact. If you don't have science developed beyond the point where it's realized that it's absurd, most people would accept the accounts. And that's the way many, many scientists said, not just Ramban, many, many scientists. The Rambam was unusual. Rambam had unbelievable intuition. But even with his intuition, you see there were certain things that he accepted too, like the case of the frog where half flesh, half earth. He said himself, it's a davar t'moria. I can't understand how such thing is, but he says, many, many people have told me that this is so, and he accepted it. And the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim also accepted the idea that in the universe there's place and there's a difference between the heavens and between the earth. And nowhere does it say it's an amazing thing, but there's nowhere in Tanakh does it say such a thing. That was what's his name? Weinberger. What's his first name again? Stephen Weinberger. He wanted to claim that's what the pasuk says, Hashemayim asakrim kvod keil umasa yodav magad arkiya, that the pasuk is saying that the heavens are different. So I wrote him back. I said, where do you want to project this idea onto the Sefer Tehillim? But where do you see this? So he said, well, everybody believed it at the time, so he must have believed it too. So I showed him I said, take a look at the Tehillim Kuf Dalet, where it says, it speaks about everything, what happens on the earth and what happens in the heavens, and after that it says, Marab Masechet Hashem, Kulam Chokhmah Sisa, doesn't distinguish at all. So on the contrary, the psukim lend themselves to clearly to the other interpretation. There is no difference, but that was a commonly held belief system. I mean, you have to imagine, you know, it's only recent, very recent, within the past century, that we have the technology to realize how expansive the universe is, and then to understand the in a totally different way the concept of place, that the concept of place does not apply to the universe. There's no place. I mean, it's a difficult concept to understand, and it's finite without a boundary. I mean, you have to understand these are concepts in very advanced concepts in physics, but in those days they didn't have such concepts. I mean, the science didn't advance to the point where they were necessary. So you can't. It's easy to go back and be a chacham and mafreya. But the truth of the matter is that most chachamim in those days accepted the accounts and assumed that there was something to these things. I could tell you this. I mean, Sigmund Freud believed in mental telepathy. He was convinced that it's true. I mean, try to figure out how it works, the brain waves going through the atmosphere. I mean, it's not such a dull question. No, not so simple. But the question, like when Rashi says that the astrologers saw that the Moshiach and Shel Yisrael is going to be Nilkal Yedei Mayim. So, therefore, they said, Hayoro Tashlichuhu. And the truth of the matter is that they were right, but it wasn't this Mayim, but it was really it was Mei Meriva. You see, so you say they knew something. But the first premise in understanding Chazal is it's not Pshuto Kimashmo. And the moment you say Pshuto Kimashmo, then you care for and call it our kula, because these Chazal will interpret Pshuto Kimashmo are kfirim in many instances, like the Rava points out. And God puts on film and uses physical, it's absolute kfirim. So you cannot take any of those Chazal Pshuto Shomikro. So therefore, what Chazal did was they used the situation as a platform to teach you an idea. So it doesn't mean that what they're saying, it does not make it. Chazal had an account from Egypt of what those astrologers said. It does not make any sense to say that all the way down, hundreds of years, they kept a record of these astrologers. They made these predictions exactly, and they knew that Moshiach Shel Yisrael in Mayim and comes up Mei Meriva. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's absurd. The whole thing is absurd. What Chazal did was that they used that as a backdrop to show the difference in concept between Ovdei Avodah Zorah and Klal Yisrael. That Ovdei Avodah Zorah blame things. They say it's water, it's this, it's that. But Klal Yisrael, water is not bad. Mei Meriva is bad. Bad is the person who goes against the Kadosh Baruch Hu and who fails. That's what Chazal are doing by that mimer. So the mimer is not to be taken pshuto kamashmo. It was an illustration that was created in order to show the difference between Avodah Zarah thinking and Torah thinking. And it does so beautifully. It shows you that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah are afraid of things and taboos and nonsense, and that's their way of thinking. And Yehadus, just the opposite. There's nothing that, and this idea is mentioned many times, like Ikach HaKtoros, Aaron Kain took the Torah. The Torah just killed 250 people. That Ketoros, the same Ketoros, if it's done properly, is matzel the people. It's not the Ketoros, it's the person's dayah, and why he did the thing, and whether it was an act of perfection or whether it was an act of destruction. You see? That's exactly that. That's what the Chazal is. So Chazal invented. They put it in a parable, in a derech mashal, and they created the mashalim like it says in the beginning of Mishle, that the divrei chachamim, the mashalim of the chachamim, divrei chachamim chidosam, and that's the style of the chachamim, was to make riddles and mashalim in order to demonstrate ideas. So that answers that question. But I mean, as long as you're going to read the Rashi like a child, you're going to have this kind of a problem. But you have to understand that the Rashi is a Chazal, and the Chazal is trying to convey an idea, a deep idea. And once you understand the idea, you see what the Chazal is. Okay. That's why Chazal asked, and that Kosvei got it to lose the Chalak and Olam Abba, because they're exposing it to the masses, and the masses take it literally, and then they walk away with ideas that are idolatrous, a lot of Zohar. Very dangerous. I mean, I think Maxim is right. He says, when Rabban uses the language of Nischazdu, that there are those that were Nischazdu and saying that it's nonsensical, he means that was really a more of a midas chasidus, because what they were saying was that you see the greatness of the Torah, that the Torah really said that this is utter stupidity, and if you follow stupidity, so then you're losing everything, and that was a more lofty idea. But he said he couldn't sustain the idea because of his scientific impression. But you're right. It's a good point. Yeah, Maxime is right that the question was whether the Earth is the center of the universe. The Rambam, there's a machlokes. There are two systems. Rambam did accept the system that the Earth is in the center, but not because of any egoistic reasons. Because on the contrary, he says that there are many, many things that were not created for man. But moreover, it's even more than that, but the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim is really ambivalent about the whole thing. Because there's one place where he says that we really know nothing about the heavens, except a few mathematical calculations. So the Rambam was not 100% convinced about the whole business. He accepted it because philosophers accept things tentatively when there's nothing better in view. But there's an amazing Rambam in the Moreh where he says everything about the heavens we know little or nothing, just a few calculations. It's an amazing thing. So his intuition was there, but he couldn't. I mean, he couldn't. He didn't have. There wasn't enough knowledge available really to support us. And it turned out that intuition in the Moreh happened to be exactly right. But at the time when the Rambam wrote it, in spite of that intuition, I mean, philosophers accept things tentatively when it looks like there's a lot of... The Rambam explains that in the Moreh too. It looks when it looks like a preponderance of evidence. So they accept the theory, but there's a different type of acceptance. Different type of acceptance. So the Rambam basically, the one part of the Rambam knew that the bottom could fall out of the whole thing. And that's what he said. It's possible for the bottom to fall out of the whole system. But it says we really know nothing except a few mathematical calculations. And everything else is basically, he says, borders on imagination. That's an amazing Rambam. Yeah. That's another thing that's amazing from the whole thing also is the fact that the psukim, there are no psukim that clearly say the other way. No psukim. That's a pretty amazing thing. Because the Rambam interprets the psukim one way and Rambam the other way. There's nothing clear. Turns out, Lamafreya, when you look at it now, I mean, you see how amazing that is, that there is not a single pasuk that is in line with all that primitive belief system, which no one in the world at that time denied. And that's an amazing thing. That itself is the most amazing thing. That's an unbelievable thing. Not a single pasuk in all of Tanakh, in all of in the Chamish Chumshito or in Divrei Nevi'im, that supports that other system. It's an amazing thing. Well, it says that there's any difference basically between the heavens and between the earth. Not a single pasuk, and everyone except, I mean, that scientist they mentioned that wrote me that letter. Was Stephen Weinberg. Was his thing. He was saying, how could it be? It can't be, because no one at that time thought that it's the same. That was only Newton showed that it's the same laws. Not a single puzzle. Yeah, so the Gemara is like this.